yesterday, Brother Dominic, you know, and had a lot of thoughts about our dear Brother Leo. I think it goes without saying, a dear precious brother serving us all. His text this afternoon is going to be Christian growth. Christian growth.
Thank you, Brother Ron, and thank you, Brother Bill Patience, for your prayer. We always need the prayers of the brethren when we speak. And we're still, as you probably know, on the path to glory. We haven't left it. Yesterday we traveled along this path as we looked at those doctrines that have to do with justification, consecration, sanctification, and glorification. And the same hymn that we sang is still, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Those are beautiful words. I love them so much. Jesus, the very thought of thee. And we hope that in this convention, as it's been stressed this morning by our brother Larry McLellan, that Christ's likeness is our goal, that the thought of Jesus will continue in your hearts and minds. That's the purpose of our speaking to you. And I was so glad, you know, that we kept on the path of glory. First, by Larry's talk where he says, put all of the wisdom of the world aside and just be occupied with the wisdom that comes from above. That's how to keep on a path of glory. And then our dear brother Edgar Buckley continued by telling us, you're in a school of Christ. Keep learning. Keep learning your ABCs. And he went through the whole alphabet. It was very, very, very inspiring and good. And we're going to continue on that path of glory now by talking about Christian growth. We're really going to be looking at what the Apostle Paul wrote in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, and in particular, the 12th to the 14th verses. Let's just read those. Where the Apostle Paul says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This is a lesson on growth. It's all around us. As we look at nature and we see the things growing in nature, the plant life, the animal life, and man, as he grows, develops from the babe all the way up to the full stature of manhood, we can't help but be impressed by the fact that how growth takes place. And as you know, for anything to grow, it needs food. It's the food that helps you to grow. And so we see that the Apostle Paul here is talking about two types of food, milk and strong meat. Now, I think sometimes we have a tendency to use these expressions by the Apostle Paul to classify the doctrines of the Lord as those being milk as being easy to understand doctrines or teachings, and strong meat as being those that are hard to understand. But I don't think that's what he had in mind. I don't think that was the lesson that was involved here for these brethren, as is mentioned that this is an epistle to the Hebrews. It's to the early church, who were mainly those of Israel. As you know, God gave exclusive favor to the nation of Israel. They had the first opportunity to come into the body of Christ. What a great blessing. And that exclusive favor finally came to an end, and the Gentiles started to come in. And as the Apostle Paul says, those that were among the first to be invited to come into the body of Christ, they should have been now the teachers of the others. But somehow or other, they got too involved with the traditions of the past. And as a consequence, they didn't become teachers. In fact, he said, you need to be taught. And that's the reason why he wrote these words here. But let's take a look at the examples that he's using here of the food that's necessary for our growth. Now, milk is really a remarkable food. It has all the necessary ingredients. It has the carbohydrates. It has the proteins. It has the fats. And when you think of it, now, how could a babe that can't really handle solid food get the nourishment if it wasn't for milk? So it's a remarkable food. And meat, the strong meat, has all the same ingredients. It has the proteins, it has the carbohydrates, it has the fats. But it's in concentrated form. It's not diluted down like the milk is. But it's the same ingredients. They're the same things that are necessary for our growth. It's just that it's more consecrated, and as you grow up, you just can't live on milk. You have to have the solid food. And that's the illustration that's being used here by the Apostle Paul. And as I say, these are often looked on as the teachings of the Lord, the doctrines, the things that comprise the divine plan of the ages. And in the past, you know, we've always made a list of the different doctrines and teachings that are, and as a rule, we try to end up with 10. And let's just go through a list like that. We have creation as the first one. Then we have the fall of man as the second one. Then we have the law that came to Israel. And we have everything concerning Israel and the ancient worthies as well as another teaching. Then we have those that we had yesterday. We start off with the ransom. We have justification. We have consecration, sanctification. And we go to glorification. And then we have restitution. Now, in there we also put in the second presence of the Lord, and also at the time of our of the ransom and justification, we put in the call of the church. But we have different ways of arriving at these 10 doctrines that we classify as being the principal doctrines of the teachings of the Lord's Word. Now, which one of these, as I went through them, are the easy ones? And which ones are the difficult ones? Are you willing to pick some in this way? You know, that's not what the Apostle Paul had in mind. And you know, another thing that happens, and this is the most unfortunate thing, but we get into what are called technicalities and quibblings and discussions about things that on which there isn't enough information in the scriptures. And rather than just letting it rest and wait for the Lord to reveal it to us in due process of time, we get so involved in these kind of discussions that people will say that these technicalities and quibblings, that's strong meat. But it isn't, friends. That is not the strong meat. Something that is complicated, made complicated by types and shadows or the interpretation of certain difficult scriptures is not the strong meat. That's not the solid food that the Lord wants us to have. And as we go back and look at the nation of Israel and the early church in particular, as they were starting to learn about God's plan, we see that in the book of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul has touched on a number of things that are very important for everyone to know. He starts off by telling about how Jesus was destined to be the greatest being of all. He starts off with that in the first chapter. Be greater than all the angels. The angels will be worshiping him. This was the work that the Father had planned for him. And you go on then to some of the lessons that he has about the ability for them to have the rest in the Lord, keeping the proper Sabbath, but instead that they would not, and they missed out on having the proper rest by faith. He goes into the things that the Lord gave them as the Aaronic priesthood, and he compares it to the Melchizedek priesthood, and he tries to emphasize to them that these are things that you should have known about and learned, but somehow or other you didn't quite get everything that the Lord had in mind about these particular teachings, and that's the reason why you have to start all over again and be taught. And these are some of the things and some of the problems that he encountered in discussing these things with them. Now, the Apostle Paul is not the only one to use milk as an illustration. Peter does the same thing. Let's just turn to 2 Peter, the second chapter, where we have Peter using this particular... I mean, 1 Peter, second chapter. 1 Peter, the second chapter, the first and the second verses, where he says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Now, Peter doesn't say anything about solid food like the Apostle Paul. He doesn't make any contrast, but he's just emphasizing that as we start the Christian journey as newborn babes, we should desire the sincere milk of the Word, the nourishment that we'll get from God's Word to grow. That's the key. We want to grow. If we're going to be on a path of glory, we have to grow. And if we don't grow into the full stature of the man, Christ Jesus. That's another way that the Apostle Paul had of expressing this matter of being conformed to the image of God's Son. Growing up into the full stature of manhood in Christ Jesus. That's the growth. That's growing from the infant up to the manhood that we all are supposed to achieve in Christ Jesus. So we notice that this is a good illustration, and that milk is a good food, and it's an important food. It's not only the teachings that are involved, though, in this matter. The Apostle Paul himself used this matter of milk when he was talking to the Corinthian church, writing to them about their failure to really discern between what the Lord wanted them to hear and learn, and how they distorted this and made a problem in their church. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, where he's telling them, and I, brethren, would not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now, in this case here, he's saying that you brethren in Corinth, you should have grown now by now and become adults, but you're not. You're as babes, and he's going to speak to them as babes. He says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. They're still victims of their own flesh, their own fleshly desires. They are still not making progress as new creatures in Christ Jesus, because that's who's growing. The Lord's word is feeding the new creature in Christ Jesus, not the natural man. And he says, you're not growing as you should. And hitherto ye were not able to know it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For why one said, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Now you remember the situation. The Apostle Paul was the one that was blessed of being the one who went to Corinth, where he met Aquila and Priscilla, his faithful co-laborers in the Lord, and how they founded the church at Corinth, the dear brethren that were there, and established this church, and the Lord blessed them. For a year and a half, he taught them over there, and they were making good progress. And then he had to leave. He had to go back. Meanwhile, Apollos came along. Apollos came to Ephesus. He met Aquila and Priscilla over there, and they showed him and explained to him more about the way of the Lord, especially concerning John's baptism as compared to the baptism into Christ. And then he was going to Corinth. So they told him about the brethren there, and he went there. And Apollos was a gifted speaker. So what happened to these brethren? They started to make comparisons, and they says, oh, Paul, he was all right, but Apollos, now he's the one. When he speaks, oh, I love him. And they start making divisions amongst themselves. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. They even said, I am of Christ. How could you go wrong with that? Well, it was the wrong kind of motive that they had. And there were envyings and strife. Everything that was wrong concerning what they were learning. See, it's what's in back of the teaching that's so important for us to know. It's not the teaching itself. Oh, you can recite a number of things concerning the doctrines and teachings of the Lord, but to know why the Lord is giving you this particular teaching is the important thing, and that's what helps us to grow. And so you see that carnality was a problem here in the way Paul had to attack it, and says, I have to feed you with milk all over again. Well, as you see later on, as he went along in telling them about how they had gone astray, he said, concerning himself and Apollos and making the comparison, he says, we're just ministers of the Lord. I have planted. And he was the one that was used to plant the seed of the Lord's word, just like in the parable of the sower, the Lord's word being planted in the hearts of different ones. I have planted. Apollos watered. But God gave the increase. It's only when we can really assimilate this food, assimilate it in such a way that we understand why the Lord is giving it to us, and why he wants us to know these teachings, that we get watered properly and grow. He's the one who helps us to grow. We can't have any growth in any other way without the Lord. He's the one, only one, that helps us to grow. And that's an important point here concerning what the Apostle Paul is making on the matter of growing as Christians. And so let's go back now to Hebrews, the fifth chapter, where we were talking about how he's making this comparison between the milk and the strong meat. And continue on into the next chapter. There shouldn't be any divisions here because it's still the same thread of thought that is coming through from the Apostle Paul. He says, therefore, having the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection and not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Now, there's a twist that's given to these words that I think sometimes is not right. You know, the whole thinking is that we should go on from knowing the principle, these doctrines of the Lord, and go on to maturity. And in that, the thought is given that we have to go on to character development. Well, that's true. But, you know, all the teachings concerning character development are doctrines. They're teachings. They're just as much doctrines as are these other things that we've talked about, like creation, the fall of man, justification, sanctification. All of that is a teaching. But so are the teachings concerning what we're to develop as the brethren in Christ. And so the Apostle Paul is not saying that we should leave behind these teachings. And take a look at these things. Are these simple? Are these simple doctrines? In no way. These can be very complicated. But that's not what he's trying to impress on us as a thought here. The doctrine of baptisms. Let's take that one. You know, we've had a lot of differences of opinions about John's baptism versus baptism into Christ. We've had a lot of discussions on this. A lot of difference of thoughts on it, too, amongst the brethren. So you can see that this can be a very complicated subject. So it's not a matter of easy doctrines and difficult doctrines. It's what the food is to supply to the new creature for his growth. And he says, this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucify in themselves to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. And we know that this is a definitely talking about those who left the principles of truth from the early church. Among those that came out of Israel, accepted Christ, and they were now running for the prize of high calling, learning about God's plan, and then somehow or other they just discarded it completely, even though their knowledge was good and complete. And this is the class that crucifies our Lord afresh, as the Apostle Paul puts it. God forbid that this should happen to any of us. But that was the lesson that was being taught by the Apostle Paul. And he says, those who failed to grow, to fail to assimilate the food properly, were those that were starting to make this mistake and not understand what the Lord was trying to do with them. Let's just take a brief look at what we can learn from what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Number one, don't let any doctrinal errors prevent your growth into Christ Jesus. Don't let doctrinal errors prevent that growth, because they can. That's number one lesson. Number two, don't think that things that are complicated and types and shadows, things that may be very complex, that's strong meat, because it's not. Let me give you an example of what the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy on this point. Let's look at 1 Timothy, the first chapter and the fourth verse. There Paul says to Timothy, "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do." If something doesn't edify, dear friends, if there's a teaching that doesn't really help you to grow, it doesn't, is of no value to us as new creatures in Christ. And not only that, but he says still later on in the 6th chapter and the 20th verse, 1 Timothy, 6th chapter and the 20th verse, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings in oppositions of science, falsely so-called." Oppositions of science, falsely so-called. That can come in and cause a problem. And then finally, let's have a look at 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter and the 23rd verse, where he says to Timothy, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife." Foolish and unlearned questions. Now, there are many of those that come up time and time again. You know, one of those that I call chestnuts that we try to pull out of the fire is one like, what about Judas? Is he already gone forever? Is he going to come back in the resurrection? You know, that's the Lord's business. That's not our business. Why do we have to know that? And of course, there are some statements that Jesus made that make people take a stand in one direction. And then there are statements in the scripture that make them stand in another direction. But is that necessary for us to know? That, I think, is one of the foolish and unlearned questions that he is telling Timothy about. And there are many like those that come up. They come up time and time and again. These do not help us to grow, dear friends. But let's take a look at some other examples now. I mentioned that any teaching which doesn't help us to grow is not going to be of any value. But as an example of teachings, let's take the one on the fall of mankind. We all know about the fall of mankind. We believe it. We know that Adam sinned, and as a consequence, all of his progeny now are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We believe it. Now, how well do you understand that doctrine? How well? If a brother makes certain mistakes and so on, he said, "He's been in the truth for 20 years. He should know better than that." Well, what about the fall of man? You know, he's originally was a son of Adam. He's doing his best now to develop as a new creature in Christ, but he still has the flesh to contend with. But if we learn from the fall of mankind how to be merciful and how to apply mercy in our dealings with each other, then we know that doctrine well, don't we? That's how That's what the Apostle Paul has in mind about the strong needs. It's not just knowing the doctrine itself, but it's to know what's behind it. God is merciful. Like Luke 6:36 says, be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. See, that's knowing the doctrine. Let's take the doctrine of restitution. Now, we've had a lot of comments today here about not having any partiality. And that's true. We shouldn't have any partiality. We know the doctrine of restitution is a beautiful doctrine. The Lord is going to bring everybody back. No matter what race, what color skin, or whatever their background was, they're all going to come back and have an opportunity for life. How do we apply that today in our knowledge of restitution? What is our attitude towards other people? Shouldn't we be impartial? Absolutely, we should be impartial. Then we understand that doctrine well. And these are just a couple of examples of what's behind not just the milk of the word, but the strong meat is knowing what God had in mind and giving us his teaching and having us understand his plan. I guess the best way for us to wind this up is to read what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, the 14th to the 21st verse. Beautiful words. There's much more that we could say on this subject, but the important thing is the lesson that he gives us at the very end. We didn't get to that, and that we've got to get to that. You know, what the Apostle Paul does in the 6th chapter of Hebrews there, he gives us an illustration. And it's a beautiful illustration. He talks about the Lord's word as being water, the truth that falls down upon the ground. And as it does, don't forget, this is the truth, the message of truth that comes down to the ground. He says, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them to whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. So if the truth now comes down and you receive it, and you develop fruitage that is good, that is useful, that's the point. You're growing, you're developing the necessary fruits of the Spirit. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Same truth comes down, listen, on the soil, but what is it developing? What is growing? Is it the fruits of the Spirit or is it thorns and briars? So let's read now, and just in conclusion, Ephesians 3, as the Apostle Paul is addressing the brethren in Ephesus, and he's telling them about his experiences. He says, starting with the 7th verse, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than least of all the saints. Oh, the Apostle Paul was so humble. He was less than the least of all the saints, he says. Why? He said in another place, because I persecuted the church of God. He knew that. He never forgot that. But he says, I lost my place here now. But by the grace that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which is from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. That wonderful mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's been the theme of this convention. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, for which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, by the to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. Amen. That was a good way to end this talk, with the beautiful words of the Apostle Paul.
I agree. Beautiful way to end. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, here, Brother Leo, you could see he choked a little bit when he talked about Brother Paul and his gracious admission that he indeed was the least, but he gave us so much through God and our Holy Lord Jesus. We certainly appreciate the discourse that he just gave us. We're going to...